For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Isn't that such a pretty verse? Pretty promise from Isaiah 54:10. We serve a perfect Savior, don't we? A Savior who makes promises and He keeps each and every one of them. Praise the Lord. Hey, happy Thursday. So good to see you. Of course, it is May the 21st, 2015. My name is Joey Kroll. Let me grab your coat. Let me roll out the red carpet. Let me welcome you to another edition of Mark and Friends. I'm not Mark, but I'm the friends part. So good to spend some time with you today. And wow, last night, my wife and I, we had a chance to just kind of compare calendars for the next, for the summer. You know, summer is coming up. our kids are going to be going out of school, I think, next week. Yeah, we just talked about it last night. You would think I would remember. We were comparing calendars yesterday, and we were talking about what is coming up this day and that day, and we need to go here. And then I talked about, remember, Saturday night, June 13th, 7 p.m., Ivan Parker concerts, and I realized that's less than a month away. Time is a flying by. What am I talking about? Ivan Parker is going to be in concert at First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy again Saturday night, June 13th, 7 p.m. Now, the reserved artist circle seating and a meet and greet experience with Ivan Parker is a suggested gift of $25. If you want that experience, give us a call. We'll set you up, 217-367-7777, or just general seating, suggest a gift of $10. You don't need tickets. Just show up, find a seat, and then when the love offering comes along, you can just throw in your suggested gift of $10 or more. But this is going to be a great night of worship and a great night of fellowship. The singing men of GNN, they're going to be there. Obviously, as I just talked about it, I have it circled on my calendar, so I'll be sure to attend as well. This is going to be a great night. Again, it's going to be at First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. So that night, you are truly going to be blessed by Ivan Parker, by the singing men of GNN, and just for the night of fellowship all around. So again, general seating, suggest a gift of $10, or if you want the reserved artist circle seating with a meet and greet experience with Ivan Parker, give us a call and we'll set you up from there. 217-367-7777. Hope to see you there. Well, have you looked in your mailbox lately? Yeah, there was a special Great News Radio mailing that went out the other day, which includes a newly updated program guide, special visionary letter on how God's really leading this ministry along with a personal note from Mark, information on the 2020 challenge, lots of other goodies in there as well. Now, if you haven't received it, wow, give us a call. We'll love to send it out to you, 217-367-7777, or for our great Indiana listeners and those out of the state listening online, you can just call 888-333-9466, 888-333-9466. Got mine in the mail the other day. Hopefully you got yours too. But if you're not on the mailing list or if you haven't received us, give us a call. We would love to get one out to you as well. So when I say the name Job, what do you think of? Yeah, you think of pain. You think of suffering, right? But do you also think of God's comforts? We're going to be talking about pain and suffering and God's comfort in the midst of it all. It's coming up right after this, right here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, right here on Great News Radio.
Great is the Lord, He is holy and just. By His power we trust in His love. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true. By His mercy He proves He is love.
Hey! His power we trust, in His love. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true. By His mercy He moves, He is love.
W. Smith, and great is the Lord. And since the beginning of time, people have always asked why in the midst of pain and suffering. In fact, author Lee Strobel cites a national survey that asked, if you could ask God one question and knew He would answer, what would it be? Well, the top response was, why is there pain and suffering in the world? Skeptics often cite the reality of suffering as evidence against the biblical view of God. After all, if God is loving but does not stop evil and suffering, then He must not be all-powerful, or He does not love. You know, friend, the Bible assures us God is both loving and all-powerful, despite the suffering and evil that are part of life. Although we can't always answer the why question about suffering in general or even individually, we know that God is all-powerful and He loves us. God meets us in our suffering. Amen. God meets us in our suffering. In Job chapter 30, verses 26 to 31, we're going to take a look at a couple of different passages in the book of Job. In verse 26 of Job chapter 30, it says, "Yet I hoped for good, evil came. When I looked for light, then came darkness. The churning inside of me never stops. Days of suffering confront me. I go about blackened, but not by the sun. I stand up in the assembly and cry for help. I have become a brother of jackals and a companion of owls. My skin grows black and peels. My body burns with fever. My lyre is tuned to mourning, and my pipe is to the sound of wailing." This guy's having a hard time. However, things kind of change when you go move forward in the book of Job. Job 42, verses 1 through 6, it says, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes.'" You know, in verse 2 of Job 42, it says, "No purpose of yours can be thwarted." You know, when God decides to do something, nothing, and I mean nothing or no one can stop Him, for He created everything and everyone. Verse 6, it says that Job repented in dust and ashes. See, the people believed back then, or when they were in a sign of repentance or deep sorrow, they would sit in dust and ashes as a sign of repentance and deep sorrow. See, God allowed Satan to afflict Job with intense suffering that included the loss of a family, possessions, and health. Job cherished God more than these things, and he ultimately chose to trust in God's sovereignty and love. However, such faith did not come easily or instantly. In Job 30, we read that his longings for good and light were seemingly mocked by evil and darkness. He said, "Yet when I hoped for good, evil came. When I looked for light, then came darkness." You ever have one of those days where you think, okay, I'm going to have a good day today, and once you set your foot outside the door, it all turns within just a matter of seconds. I hope for good, but evil came. He even faced inner turmoil in verse 27. It says, "The churning inside of me never stops. Days of suffering confront me." Also, the glad music of his life, as we read in Job 30, turned to woeful mourning. Verse 31, "My lyre is tuned to mourning, and my pipe is tuned to the sound of wailing." You know, friend, what does this picture of Job's suffering teach us? One, it teaches us that all people experience suffering. Commitment to God and consistency of character does not exempt anyone from pain in this life. That's the hard news right there. That's the hard news right there. And our suffering is not always the direct result of our personal sin. It's not always the direct result of our personal sin. Suffering is a byproduct of living in a world corrupted by sin. Sometimes the evil we experience is the result of somebody else's sin. You know, Job was accused by his friends of having committed secret and terrible sins against God, for they believe only the wicked suffer. And Job proclaimed his innocence and cried out to God to tell him why God has turned on him. Job hoped for good, but evil came. He tried to get two steps ahead, but went three steps back. Job believed his ethical behavior would bring him good fortune. And you can find that in Job 29. Instead, misfortune blindsided him and left him churning inside his insides. Literally, his bowels thought to be the seat of emotions, churned like boiling water. Like Job, we find it very easy to expect good fortune to follow good deeds. Come on, God, I tithe, I give, I serve in the church, I attend church, I feel like I'm in the center of your will. Why is this going on? Has anybody else been there? Come on. However, that idea has been more in common with the Eastern concept of karma than it does with the biblical view of reality. Job was a man seeking to honor the Lord. Why then did he suffer? Right? Why did God grant Satan even limited power to inflict intense pain on one of God's great servants? You know, Corrie ten Boom, I love this quote that I have from her. She says, "However deep the pit, God's love is deeper still." I love it. You know, in Job 38, after all of this was happening to Job, Job 38 records what God had said in response to Job. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, 'Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know.'" Wow. Can you imagine if God kind of said that to you? Whew. See, God's questioning of Job in chapter 38 highlights the distinction between finite man and infinite God. When we are ambushed by adversity, it is normal and acceptable to ask God questions and to tell him we don't understand. However, in my opinion, it is never right for finite creature, that's you and me, finite creatures, to question the integrity of God. See, with questions, God illustrated the vast difference between a timeless God and a time-bound person. God's wisdom makes so-called human wisdom look like ignorance. And Job willingly admitted that he had obscured knowledge by speaking of things he did not understand that were too wonderful for him. See, Job heard about Yahweh, but much of what he had heard was wrong, like the idea that bad things don't happen to good and innocent people. He said, I love what he says. He says, "But now my eyes have seen you," he declared in awe. And Job extended his confession to include repentance. Suffering should draw us closer to God. Friend, are you suffering today? Are you going through a trial to the point where you are hurting, where you are questioning God, where you're in the fog, where things don't make sense? Is this drawing you closer to God, or is it drawing you away from him? Job repented
of questioning God's goodness. See, after God spoke to Job, he was armed with a new awareness of God's character. Not only did Job admit his earlier flawed beliefs about God, but he also repented for them in verse 6. It gives us a picture of a biblical repentance, which involves a radical change in direction and perspective. So God's permission for the bad in your life does not necessarily mean it's the same as his approval. God's permission is not necessarily the same as his approval. Did you get that? See, God permitted Adam to eat of the forbidden tree, but he did not approve of the action. God allowed Cain to kill Abel, but he certainly did not approve of that. We also know that God has done everything possible to redeem us from the sin which would destroy us. He gave his one and only Son, who sacrificed his life for our sin and took our penalty. So all who turn to Jesus Christ in faith are saved. The sin in this world and horrors such as the Holocaust, September 11th, and everything else, all other events are a direct result of mankind's continued rebellion against God. And the blame for September 11th, the Holocaust, and other horrible tragedies lies squarely on the shoulders of sinful humanity. And all of that, all of those events was the product of sinful choices made by sinful men in rebellion against a holy God. God gives mankind freedom of choice. We can choose to follow him and take a stand for righteousness, or we can rebel against him and pursue evil. The problem resides in the heart of man. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and is beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Until man's heart turns to God, and I'm talking about mankind, but also as individuals too, the world will continue to witness bombings, murdering of children, and other horrible events due to the sin of man. And unfortunately, sickness and suffering, wow, is never an easy thing to deal with. When you look around and there's sickness and people are suffering, it can break your heart. But one thing is for sure, friends, sickness should not cause us to lose faith in God. It should not cause us to lose faith in him. God is good even when we're suffering. Can I get an amen? God is good even when we are suffering. God is good even in the midst of suffering. It may not make sense, but God is still good.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is.
You are not a God created by human hands. Just the way it is.
That's right, Fred. Thank you so, so much for listening today. Those were the Tom Fetke Singers and How Great Is Our God. Well, friend, you have yourself a wonderful rest of your Thursday. And remember that you are salt and you are light and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.